Here on Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Beis, about two-thirds of the way down, we had a suffix of Rabbi Ovin about Chata Sa'ov Shehichnis Doma B'Tzavara Bifnim. That was the sugya we did yesterday. Now we have another suffix of Rabbi Ovin, Nishpach Al Haritzpa V'Asafa Mahu. So the dam from the Tzavra Oaf fell onto the Ritzpah Sazora. Now the Kohen collects it in a Kli Shares. Is he allowed to now go ahead and be Zorik the dam of the Mizbeach or no? In the case of Behema, the din is that Nishpach Adam, if the dam goes from the Tzavra Behema onto the Ritzpah Sazora, the dam is Posel Azor. Unless he was Makabal the dam first in a Kli Shares, and then subsequently it fell onto the Ritzpah. Then the Kohen can gather it up, and we discuss the case of Erev Pesach in that regard. But what's the story in the case of Dam Ha'of that fell onto the floor? Atzruche hu delo atzruche rachmona klishores. The Torah said that in the case of an oaf, there's no need for Kabbalah Sadam and a Klisharis. The Tzavra itself is a substitute for a Klisharis as far as the Dama oaf is concerned. Ve'hilkach, and therefore the Kohen is okay, la'osfo, to collect it from the Ritzpah and the Kosher. The Dam is Kosher la'zon and Mizbeach, like any case of Nishpach mina Kli. Because we're assuming now in the first tzad of Rabbi Ovin Sofik that the status of the Tzavar Ha'of is equivalent to that of a Klisharis. Dilma, should we say no? Mifsal Posel Be'Rachmona Klisharis. The Torah says that the Dam Chatos, if he had received it in a Klisharis, is Posel. The Dam has to go directly onto the Kira Mizbech from the Tzavar Ha'of. And here, what happens is the Dam went onto the floor, onto the Ritzpah, and then he collected in a Klisharis. There's no kashrus of a Klisharis with regard to Oaf. Ehilchach Osfo Uposel. If the Kohen collects the Dam in a Klisharis from the floor, it's Posel. Now, there are two questions that we have to understand here. Number one, what's the relationship between this suffix and the previous suffix? It's very similar in that the previous suffix, in which he was machnis the dam while it's in the tzavar, bifnim into the heichal, is that called ashayuva midomel ol moed l'chapikosh lo teyochel, it's a psul? Or do we say that the tzavar itself is part of the animal, and any dam that's inside of it is included inside the animal? It's not considered that the tzavar itself is a klisharis. Again, the previous suffix would also seem to revolve as this suffix around the issue of the status of the tzavar of, is it a klisharis, is it not? From Rashi, Dibra Maskel Atzruche, you get the impression that these two sfeikos are connected to each other, and both of them essentially is the same suffik. When the Torah commands in the case of Chatos Ha'of to do the Hazof from the Oaf itself on the Mizbech, is the Torah saying that the Hazof from the Guf of the Oaf, from the Tzavra Oaf, is a kli shares, it's a substitute for the kli shares, and therefore if he's makabel the dam in a kli shares, it's kosher? Or shall we say no, the tzivui, the special tzivui of Ophir, is that the hazor should be directly from the tzavor onto the mizbeach without any kli shares, and if he's makabel the dam in a kli shares, it becomes posel? The Rambam also sounds like Rashi because he connects these two Gemaras together, these two Sfeikas, and he brings them simultaneously in Perek Beis Milchus Pesulei HaMikdashim under one heading. Now, question number two in this sugya, which is equally perplexing, is that what's the deal here? Is the Gemara, when the Gemara is suggesting Rav Ada's side number two, Rav Ovin, excuse me, in this suffix, namely that maybe the dam became posel in this case? Is it A, because it's not going directly from the tzavar of the oaf onto the mizbeach, or is it B, because it fell onto the ritzpah? And those are two separate issues. In the formulation of Rabbi Oven Sofik, it's Nishpach ala Ritzpah Vasofa. Why did Rabbi Oven have to mention Nishpach ala Ritzpah Dalmiyach, even without Nishpach ala Ritzpah? If the dam was received in a Kli Shares, then that itself would be enough to passel the dam. It didn't go directly from the Tzavar Ha'of onto the Mizbeach. So why did Rabbi Oven have this suffix in the case of Nishpach Adam al Ritzpah, and then he collected it? Why shouldn't the suffix apply even if it wasn't Nishpach, if he was Makabal Adam in a Kli Shares? Is that okay or is that not okay? So the Karen Ora and others raised this question, and to give you an honest answer to this question is very difficult for me. I don't see it clearly. He says, "Im kiblo b'kli posel adam, enochinami, the dam would be posel according to that side if he was makabalit in a kli." And if you're going to say that the dam, but let's say on the other side of the Gemara, that maybe the dam that was collected in a kli from the ritzpah is kosher, how do you imagine that it's kosher? Meaning, how is the Kohen now expected to implement the hazan the mizbech? Hazan the mizbech certainly has to go from the goof of the oaf onto the mizbech directly. Any vacillation about the question of kli shares and so forth would not be relevant here, because even if I grant you there is a kli shares, the dam is not nifsal, how is he going to achieve the hazah over here? The hazah has to be from the guf ha'of. And here he quotes a zivchei tzedek. Again, I understand where the Zivchei Tzedek is coming from conceptually. I don't understand exactly in the practicality of it, how practical it is. But he says that perhaps he can collect the dam in a kli shares and then put it back into the tzavar ha'of. And now the tzavar has the same status as a kli shares. Very difficult. Amar Rava wants to be poshet the suffix from a brisa. This brisa was quoted back on Daf Tzadi Bezam and Alf Yochel. I might think Yehi Dam Chatas Ha'of. We're talking about the din of Hatoza here. Ton Kibus, the din of Kibus, if Dam of a Zevach spritzes onto a Beged, we have to do Kibus. What about the Dam of a Chatas Ha'of? I might think it has the same status as Zivchei Behema, requiring kibbutz. Talmud Lomer, for that we have a pasuk of Vizos. Zos meaning only in this context of a chatos. There, we're going to say that you need kibbutz, but not in the case of chatos ha'ov. And that was the whole brisa that we discussed at great length on Daf Tzadi Beis. If you're going to entertain the possibility that the Torah apostles, the Dam Chatas Ha'of, which was received in a Kli Shares, how much more so would it possible the case where he was Mekabel et Stam in a regular Kli, like a Beged? And in the logic of this Isal Kedaitach, he says the following, that in order to passel the dam chatos ha'ov inside a kli, like if, let's say, there was a tozo onto a beged, then we don't have to say that it's hanocha, there's hanocha in the beged. All we need, says the Gemara, is that that this dam is on its way through the airspace towards the beged. That's called the avir. And right away it should become possible, because we have a principle called Avir HaKli Kikli. The Avir, the airspace over the utensils, has the same status as the utensil. And therefore, from the very split second, the fraction of a second that the Dam reaches the Avir and the Beged, it became possible. And if that's the case, why do we need a limit of mizos from the pasuk zos to exclude dam chataso from kibbutz? It seems totally superfluous and unnecessary. Because even without the drasha of zos, typically we would know that there's no din of kibbutz because the ifsalei be aver kli. Once it's on its way to the Avra, the Kli, then it's considered that it's in the Kli, it's in the Beged. And Dam Chatos, which is Koshel HaHazah, generates a, in the case of Atoza, generates a din, a requirement of tone of Kibbutz. But if the Dam is Posel, there's no requirement of Kibbutz. From the fact that this Braisa derives the din of Dam Chatos HaOf, Shenitas Al Beged, is Enoton Kibbutz, and that's derived from the miut of Zos, you see clearly that Dam Chatos HaOf, that once it was received in a Kli Shares, or shall I say, despite the fact that it was received in a Kli Shares, it's kosher. And therefore, in the case of Nitas Al Beged, it's not posel in the avir, but it's only going to be posel when it's nach, when it gets saturated inside the fibers of the beged. The Rava is wondering about the need for this yalfusa of zos to exclude the din and the requirement of kibbutz in the case of nitas adam. Because in the case of a chatas ha'of, the dam already became posel even before it was saturated into the kli through the airspace above the vessel. And that's called tepekle, daha ifsale bi'avir kli. And in the case of chatas ha'of, we're talking about kibbutz if the dam was royal azrika. Here, even before the dam hits the beged, it's not royal azrika, because we're maintaining here in this salkadaita that mifsal posel beirachmanav, that the Torah is disqualified a kli sharis in the case of dam achatas. So at this point, the Gemara rejects Rava. Amar Rav Huna berei Rav Yoshua. There's no right from the Braisa, because it's very possible that the Braisa and the posuk of the Zos that's quoted here by the Braisa is be madbik kli b'tzavara. We're talking about a scenario in which he took the kli, meaning the beged, and he attached it, he adhered it over to the tzavara, the chatas of. In this case, there was no dam outside of the tzavara, meaning there's no dam that's suspended in the airspace hovering above the kli, above the beged, but rather the dam went directly on the beged. So if there's no psul of avri kli, the Braisa wants to know, how do we exclude from the word sos, even in a situation where the dam doesn't need, that even in this situation, the dam doesn't need kibbutz. And there's no psul in the dam because it went directly into and was absorbed by the beged. So the Gemara doesn't come to any final hachra on these two sfeikas. No, it's what you call it by the low ifshit times two, and the Rambam passes la locha that the din of dam chatas ha'of, if it fell onto the ritzvah, has the same din as any sofek chatas ha'of, and it's yotzeis li sarif. And the Kesef Mishnah adds on, the same thing would apply with regard to the other Ibayah in the Gemara about Dam Chatos Of Shechniso Lahecha. Now we're starting the sugya of Rabbi of Levi with regard to Dam Chatos Behema, and it was a Hatoza on a Beged. Boyminei Levi. Levi asked his Rebbe, possibly Rebbe, he asked, Nitas mi beged leveged mahu. It means that how much of the dam could generate a din of kibbutz. Let's say, for example, there was dam that hit beged number one. Now, beged number one comes in contact with beged number two. Shall we generate a din of kibbutz? If we'll say that mi beged kama idchile l'kibbutz, that the original garment, which is nidche, it means that the dam is sort of rejected from zrikat gam the mizbeach, and instead it's replaced by a chiv kibbutz. That's as far as the beged kama is concerned. And therefore, once it's nifsal adam, when it comes in contact with that beged rishon, as we called it, then when it would be nitas on beged asheni, it's already not royal azah, it's already posel. And therefore, for sure, it would not engender any sort of chiyuv kibbutz. O dilma lo. Well, should we say that lo nidcha dam, that the din of dam nishpapa klisharis al ritzpas azara would apply here, that the kohen is allowed to gather up the hazof, the dam for hazof from the ritzpah onto the mizbeach. So let's just again review the two tzadim in Levi's suffix. One side of Levi is to say that since the dam chatas was a kabbalah in a klisharis kedasu kedin, and then it splattered onto a garment, and from one garment onto a second garment. So the answer is, let's go back to the case of the first garment, which is called in Gemara's language the beged kama. Shall we say that from the moment that the dam hits the beged, then it's completely nidcha? Nidcha means it's no longer valid for the mizbeach. O dilma lo. What that means is that in the second side of Levi's suffix is that we're not going to say lo means we're not going to say that the dam that fell onto a beged becomes immediately posel in mizbeach. That far we're not going to go. The dam, even in the beged rishon, is still royal azrika, and therefore it could, so to speak, generate a kind of, by contagion, a status on the dam sheni in the case of mibeged lebeged of ton kibbutz. Amalei, so Rebbe responds to Levi Zoshela. That's a pretty good question, and here's the answer. Ton kibbutz. Yes, the second beged does need kibbutz. Now that was one side in Levi's suffix. And you might think that Rebbe is accepting that one side. But no. Rebbe goes beyond that. And he says, Mimonafshach. You don't have to introduce your concept here of psul adam. Even if I assume, says Rebbe, that like your first side, that idchile l'kibbutz, that the dam becomes posul when it falls on the garment, the first beged, because it's just simply not royal azrika. Nevertheless, I can still maintain that the second beged would require kibbutz. And why is that? Mimonafshach. Eosfo v'kosher, if the din is that the dam in the first garment is kosher for zrika hakosher, then it's valid, and therefore the second garment certainly is ton kibbutz. The eos apostle, but according to that sad that Levi had entertained, that if he collects the dam from the first beged, it's still possible for zrika. In other words, the very mitzvah din of kibbutz itself replaces the validity of the dam or undermines the validity of the dam. Nevertheless, I know Rabbi Akiva Sfirle diomar hoysalo shasa koshev nifsalo to domam doma toun kibbutz. Rabbi Akiva says that even if when he gathers the dam together, since it had a shasa kosher, meaning the chatos had a period in which it was kosher, was valid, now nifsala became invalid, is doma ton kibbutz. We're still going to require that the garment in which the blood was splattered requires laundry. And the logic of Rabbi Akiva, which the Gemara is going to clarify in the next Amud, is that once you have a shas hakosher, then the dam still retains its status as far as the din of kibbutz is concerned. And if that be the case, then even if I grant you the dam might be possible as rika, but nevertheless it does generate a din of kibbutz, and therefore the second beged would require kibbutz. La'alocha, the Rambam paskins that the dam in the second beged does not require kibbutz. So again, the Gemara is going to clarify, as I said, Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Rabbi wrote a Stam Mishnah that reflects the Shita of Rav Shimon, who argues against Rabbi Akiva, and he holds that even when it had a Shasa Kosher, nevertheless its dam is now possible and it doesn't have the power to energize, to engender a din of kibbutz. But Rabbi nevertheless very often will be so same a Mishnah like a certain Shita Zatana, even if he doesn't agree with it. In this case, he happens to agree with it. And now we turn to Daf Tzadi Gimel and Al Poi Minei Rami Bar Chama Mirav Chizda Nitaz Al Beged Tomei Mahu. What's the din of the dam if it falls onto a beged that's Tomei? And now for sure it's not Roy Lazar because it's now absorbed in a beged Tomei. And it's as if it was nitma before it got to the beged, according to this tzad. And therefore it doesn't generate kibbutz. It's not roi lazor, therefore can it generate kibbutz? Oh, dilma, what's the other possibility? That since before he did the shogeg, the beged was kosher, and now we're saying because he touched it, he came in contact with it, it became tameh, is ton hu kibbutz kevod de posel hadam v'chovas hakibbutz lebeged bo v'yachad. So on the second side here of Rami Bar Chama, he wants to suggest that since before the negi of the beged, the dam of the beged, it was kosher, and with its negi it becomes a beged shenitma, it becomes posel, and it requires kibbutz. Offhand, the first side, the Gemara, is so much simpler to understand that this dam is dam posel, it's not roi lazrika, and the moment it hits the beged, which is a beged tameh, then how could this dam generate a din of kibbutz when the dam itself is not roi? The second side, Rashi says, is do we look at the dam as if it's still kosher at that very moment that it came in contact with the beged? In such a case, at the moment in time when the dam hit the beged, it was still royal azrika. So the Gemara answers, Omer Rav Huna Brei Rabbi Yeshua Midako Boile Hachi. I can be poshet your suffek from Rami Bar Chama. Actually, this was a suffek that was asked to Rami Bar Chama. And the question of to Rami Bar Chochma that's now being posited by Rav Huna is this case that we mentioned before. It's not a case where the Dam came down with Tumah afterwards. It came in contact with Tumah afterwards. Rav Huna, Breda Rav Yeshua, understands from the Suffolk, the way the Suffolk was formulated by Rami Bar Chochma, that Rami Bar Chochma himself holds that Hoysel Ashas HaKosher V'Nifsala Ein Domaton Kibus. In other words, he accepts the view of Rabbi Akiva that we saw in the previous Omid, that the Dam of the Chatos, since it had a Shas HaKosher, therefore it would generate a din of Kibus. And he says the following: what is therefore the point of his suffek when he says nitaz al beged tame hani mili? Perhaps that's only bezachar zeh. That only makes sense when the dam first became invalid, it became posel, and then it hit the garment. So then we apply the principle of Rami Bar Chochma, that dam shenifsal, if it was nifsal already before it hit the garment, then even though it had a shas hakosher, we're not going to accept the view of Rabbi Akiva. I'm sorry if I said it a little differently. We're not going to accept the view of Rabbi Akiva, and it does not engender a chiyuv kibus even though it had a shas hakosher. However, that's only b'zecher zev, v'as achas lo. But what happens if the dam, at the split second that it hit the beged, was actually royal zrika, was kosher, and it became posel only at the second when it hit the beged, and the beged was tameh, and then it became invalid, then it became disqualified? Does it require kibus or does it not? Notice, do we look at the moment when it went into the beged, or the moment that it hit the beged and got absorbed in the beged? You know, do we say Gito Vyodabon Kaacha, so to speak? That since at the moment that it left the Tzavar Ha'of, it was kosher, it only became posel with its contact with the beged, is there a Chobos Kibus in that case, or not? Or is the Dam considered posel because it came posel as soon as it had a Negiah, as soon as it hit the beged? And this is even though, despite that, Rav Huna Brady Rav Yeshua answered earlier that the mirror of Zos, in the case of Ov, was a situation in which the Dam became posel and the Chobos Kibus came b'vasachas. So we see that there's Kibus on the Dam of Behema in such a scenario that it became posel and it generated a chiyuv kibus vas achas. Here though, since there was never a pshitus on the original suffolk about whether or not you're allowed to be zorik the dam ha'of in a klisharis or not, therefore we're going to suggest that Rami Bar Chochma holds that you can be zorik the dam ha'of for klisharis. It does become possible when it leaves the tzavor. And since it didn't become posel when it left the tzavra, then maybe it's mechayev in kibus insofar as it only became tameh after it hit the beged. And the Gemara says, O dilma lo shna, meaning that it doesn't matter if it became posel before the negi of the beged or it became posel together simultaneously with the chobas kibus, in such a case, there's no chiv kibus. And the Gemara says, let's answer this question with a statement of Rav Chisda. Omalei Rav Chisda says to Rami Bar Chochma, Plugta de Rabbi Elazar Rabbanon Aliva de Rabba Ukir Kometari Tzabai. That the answer to your question lies in a debate between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanon, according to the way Rabba explained that machlokes, and according to the way Abai defended Rabba in this machlokas. The Gemara later on is going to clarify what Rav Chisda had in mind here and bring the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanon and Rabba's explanation and Abai's defense for Rabba. And that's what we're about to embark upon now. We're talking about the din of what's called Mechatos, which is prepared for Hazah on a Tomei. And it became Tomei. Can we use the Mechatos for Hazah on an Adam Tomei who contracted Tumah v'Tumas Mes and Mitayer him as if it didn't become Tomei? Or should we say no? Once it became Tomei, it can't be Mitayer, the Tomei Mes, the Sanya Rabbi Lezer. This is Rabbi Lezer ben Shamua. Omer. Mechatos shenitmu mitarim. That despite the fact that the Mechatos became Tomei, nevertheless they can be mitarim. And what's the logic for this? Sharei nida. Let's say a woman who was already in the state of a nida, now she comes in contact with a dead body. Is mazin aleha. Notice before she's tovelas l'nidasa, before she has a tvila to remove her tumas nida, then we do a hazah, and then after the hazah smechatos, then she's tovelas for both tumas. Notice we never found that the Torah requires a special tvila for nida before the hazah, and then to be total again a second time around with meichatos. In other words, here's a proof that she can be Matar herself with a Mechatos, even though the Mechatos became Tomei, because in the case of the Nida, when they do the Azah, before she is actually Tovelis Lidasa, so the Mechatos became Tomei, and yet, nevertheless, despite that, she's Mataras Mitumas Mes. In other words, the very moment that this Mechatos comes in contact with her body, and she's a Nida at this point, she hasn't yet been Tovelis. It became Mechata Shenitmu. And yet it's Metayer Ha Midei Tumas Mes. And this is basically a Sugya Yevamos on Daf Kuf Tezayin Amit Beis. And the Gemara there is very careful about not being Metame Mechatos. But apparently that's Gzeirat Rabbanon, that we shouldn't carry Mechatos in a Nohar or a Sfina, because of a story that happened there where a person was transporting Mechatos in a boat in the Jordan River, across the Jordan River, and that's before Kiddush. So in other words, before the Kiddush of the Mechatos, then there's a real serious problem of the water contracting tumah. So it means before they put the Ephra Parah into the Mayim and they made the concoction, then we have to be very careful it shouldn't be Tomei. But after the Kiddush, we no longer have to be careful. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, and Lozer at least, even if it contracted Tumah, you can use it to be Matar the Tomei Mes. The Omar Rabbah made the following comment. Rabbi Eliezer, B'shitas Rabbi Akiva Rabbo Amora. Rabbi Eliezer is reflecting the shita of Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe, that Mechatos shenitmu before Hazah, even though you might assume that there are two different cases over here, the case of Rabbi Akiva and the case of Rabbi Eliezer. The case of Nida, where the Tumas Hamayim and then the Tara that she enjoys or achieves from Tumas Mes, they both come bevasachas. At the very same split fraction of a second, when the Mayim, the Mechatos, comes in contact with her body, that's when they're Metayer. And that's also the moment that the Mayim became Tomei. So that's where Rabbi Eliezer is going to say that the Mayim can be Metayer. And Rabbi Akiva is Rebbe, he brought this raya from Nida, the Omer Havaras Kli al Gabi Mokom Tomei Kimunav Tomei. When you transport a Kli with Mechatos in it, in the airspace of Tumas, that's going to pass the water, even though the Mayim, the Mechatos, never had any direct actual contact with the Tumah. But it's considered as if he placed the Mechatos on the tomb itself. So Rabbi Eliezer brings a raya from the case of Hazal and Nida to the case of Mechatos that became Tmeim that became nitmu before the hazor, then it's mitayr. Because even in the case of hazor and the nida, the mayim became tomei while they were in the avir of the nida, even before they reached our body. And that's the reason why Rabbi Elazar will have to introduce the shita of Rabbi Akiva, his Rebbe, who holds that havaras kli al gabi mokum tomei kimunach tomei. That putting it through the airspace of the tveis will really passel the mayim, even though it didn't touch the, you know, it didn't touch the mechata. The tumah did not have direct contact with mechatas, but it's considered as if it's munach al atoma. And that's the nekuda that Rabbi Elazar wants to derive in order to construct his raya from Azos Nida, that the Azos Nida is going to be operative even though the Mechatos contracted Tumah in the Avir of the Nida before they reach the body of the Nida. And at this point, Rabbi invokes a Mishnah in Masechta Parah to prove the Sheet of Rabbi Akiva. And this is the Mishnah in the 10th Perek of Parah. And the Mishnah says, Im haya munach kad mechatos. He's got a vessel full of mechatos, and it's resting bechalon shebekosa, in the window inside the wall. And next to the kosel is a tanur, there's an oven, and a person haya omed chutz l'tanur. He's on the other side of this oven. In other words, the tanur is now being mafsik. It's in between him and the kosel. And the mechatos. So you've got now is you've got a person who's standing on the other side of the tanur in such a way that the tanur is mafsik between him and the kosel and the mechatos. So there's a window in the wall which is above the height of the tanur of the oven. And on the sill of that window, there's a jar of mechatos. And the oven itself stands between the person and the wall. The sheretz bitanur. There's a sheretz inside the oven. Again, a sheretz is one of those animals mentioned in Vayikra Yud Aleph. And its carcass, if it's dead, conveys tumah to anything that was mukshal kabal tumah. So now there's a dead sheretz that's inside a tanur. This tanur is made of cheres. It's an earthenware tanur. And now in such a case where there's a carcass of a sheretz inside the tanur is tameh. The entire tanur becomes tameh. Vahushit yodol lachalon. And he stretched his hand out into the window that was above the oven on the side of the house. And he took this jar, which has mechatas from the window of the coast. So the heavier al pi hatanur, and he passed it over the opening of the tanur. As we said before, this tanur, so far as it has the sheretz inside of it, is mekabel tumah. Now keep in mind that this tanur has an opening on the top, and when he takes the jar from the window and he carries it over the oven, he's taken the mechatas and passed it over the opening of the oven. And Rabbi Akiva mitame, Rabbi Akiva says in such a case, the mechatas became tmein. The Chachom mitarim. The Chachom disagree and they hold that the mechatas remain tar. He holds that this jar that has within it the mechatas, when it passes on top of the tanur, it's as if it was resting below on the tanur. It's as if it's munach on the tanur. And if it's munach inside the tanur virtually, then since the oven has tumah in it, it became tumah by virtue of the sheretz, it's going to transmit that tumah to the mechatas. Now, the Gemara says that if you take the logic of Rabbi Akiva that it's kemunach tumah, then you can talk about Rabbi Elazar following Rabbi Akiva's view. Says that the mechatos became tomei when they were on the way down to be mazel through the hazah, through the airspace over the nida, they'll contract tumah in the airspace because it's kimunach al gabi hanida dami, and nevertheless that mechatos, even though it's tome, can be mitayr midei tumas mes. So that's what we have in the Gemara. In the Gemara now, we're about to try to analyze the Rabbanan Shita. So the Gemara says the following: Rabbanan Savri Lav Kimunach Dami, that the Mayim remain Tahorim, even though they passed over the airspace of the Tanur, which had a Sheretz in it. Rabbi Loza, as we said before, reflects the Shita of Rabbi Akiva's Rebbe. And he brings a raya from Hazah al Hanido that Mechatas, even though it became Tomek, still have the power to be Matar Midei Tumas Mes. Because again, the Hazah and the Nida is going to bring the Mayim, the Mechatas, into contact with the airspace over the Nida, and it becomes Tomek, Kimunach. And that Kimunach is based on Rabbi Akiva. Now, even though that's Rabbah's explanation of this Machlokas, Abai has a Kasha. Says Abaye, Isvei Abaye, how can we accept Rabbah's understanding of this machlokes? We have a brisa that says Moda Rabbi Akiva Ba'azah Shevira Al Gabi Kli Cheres Tome Al Gabi Mishkavu Moshav Tome Shehi Tahora She'ein Lach She'ein Lecha Dover Shevetami Lamala Kilamato Ela Kizayis Minames Ushar Kol Amahilim. So Rabbi Akiva, even though he argues with the Chacham and he holds the Mechatas that were passed over the Pi HaTanur, which has the Sheretz in it, still, and he says in such a case, Tmeim, the Mechatas became Tmeim, but he agrees, he admits that in Hazor Sheivira, if he was Mazah the Mechatas on a person, and the Hazor passed over Al Gabi Kli Cheres Tomeh, in other words, let's say, for example, you have the case of the Tanur, which have a Sheretz in it. Or, for example, Agabi Mishkav Hu Moshav Tomei, that a Zav sat or reclined on a Mishkav or Moshav, on an object, whatever the size is, it doesn't matter. And that object became Tomei by virtue of the Mishkav Moshav of a Zav, which means that anyone who touches this Mishkav or Moshav Bikan contracts Tuma. But nevertheless, Shehi Tahora, that Azah is Tahora. Why? Because Ein Lecha Dover Tomei Shemetamei Lamala Ki Lamata. There's no such thing as a Dover Tomei that's Metamei in the Oel, Lamala Be Oel, like touching it Lamata on the bottom. In other words, the Over, the avir, that which goes over the airspace, is considered munach al gabav, elokizayis min amesu sharkol amahilim. The Gemara is going to explain that sharkol amahilim, he means lasuye, to include evan haminugas, an evan that has an eget saras, that even though it's mitame, anyone, anything that passes over its avir, its airspace, but it seems clear from this Brisa says about that Rabbi Akiva is not of the opinion that in other tumas there's a tumas avir. Rabbi Akiva only accepts the tumas avir in the case of Evan Minugas. Other than that, there's no such din as nitmu or nifsalu biavir before it comes in contact with the avir. So there are various exceptional rare cases where Rabbi Akiva says Dover Hametami Lamala Lamata, you know, something that's in the airspace becomes Tomei from that which is below it, as if it was touching that thing below it, only in the cases of Kizayis Min Ames and Mahilim, which comes to include the Evan Minugas, the Evan that contracted Tuma of Tumas Negoyim. But as a general rule, for example, in the case of Haviru Kli Cheres, or yeah, Kli Cheres Al Gabi Mishkav Umoshav, if the Mishkav Umoshav had contracted Tumah from a Zav, Shehi Tahora. What does it mean, Shehi Tahora? That this object that passed over the airspace remains tar. Why is it written Shehi Tahora? He says here that the he, the feminine, is referring to the azah. It means that if he was mazah the mechatas on a person, and the hazah itself, meaning the mechatas, passed over a kli cheres tameh, like for example the tanur case without sheretz in it, or mishka v'moshav, we said of a zav, then in such a case, he tahora, the mechatas remain tahora. We don't say that it's as if it was lamata, with the exceptional cases of kizayis min ames and shar kol hamahilim, which the Gemara interprets to be referring to Evan Hamanugas. So this is the objection that Abai raises here, because it seems clear that according to Rabbi Akiva, with what we call general tumos, which is called shar tumos, there's no principle called metame v'avir, only the exceptional cases that we mentioned. And therefore, we will not accept the way Rabba interpreted it, that the mechatos, when you sprinkle it over a nida and it became tmeim, that's going to be a raya that mechatos tmeim could be metayer, because it never became tmeim in the avir, because Rabbi Kiva never went that far. And therefore, the Gemara has to re-explain the words of Rav Chisda and bring a different explanation of the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim. El Omar Abaye, to Kuli Alma, everybody holds that even if Mechatas would pass on over a Tomei Sheretz, Lav Kimunach Tomei, it's not considered as if they were touching, as if the object in the airspace was touching the object below it, which has the status of an object of Tumah. So what's the subject of the machlokas when he was maver kli on top of this tanur? Is Rabbi Kiva sover gazrinon shema yanuach? We're afraid that as he's passing the kli over the airspace of the tanur that became tomi through a sheretz, then the mayim will become tmeim, shema yanuach. And therefore, Rabbi Kiva says that even if it was not on the tanur itself, but he was maver me'olav, he's only being mavered over the airspace, that if we're not metami, then he'll come to the conclusion that it's tar even in a case of absolute contact, which is called yanuah. Rabbanan savri lo gazrino. They don't have this gzera that the mayim should become tmeim because you pass the kli over the tanur, because maybe tomorrow he'll confuse that case with a case where he was meniach the kli. Oh, so now we come back to Moda Rabbi Akiva Bahazah. So Rabbi Akiva was Moda in the case where they carried the hazah, the mechatos, on top of the tumah, that it ain't in its mace, it doesn't become tomet. And that's because when you zorik mayim, there's no room for chashash that tomorrow he'll be machnas it into the tanur, he'll put it on top of the tanur, came in the nofak. Once it was yotza ha'azah miyodo, it left his hands, is nofak. It completely left his hands, and that's it. It's no longer connected to him. And he's not going to be able to bring it back in and put it down on the tanur. Therefore, in the case of hazah, the rabbonon say, there's no gzera. And in the case where he was mazeh and Rabbi Kiva didn't institute this gzera to be metame the mayim, even though you carried it over the airspace on top of the tumah. Basically, the Gemara seems to be differentiating between two scenarios. One's called havara, and the other is called hazah. If it's a case of havara, so then he might be tempted to place it down directly onto the tumah. But if it's a case of hazah, where it passes over, when he throws the mayim, it passes over the airspace, that's not room for gzera. once it left his hand, this hazah, and the waters are in the airspace, it's nafak. He's not going to in any way bring it back down. Masha'en came in the case that we discussed earlier, which is the case of Havara, where he's carrying across the airspace. There he might be tempted inadvertently to put it down. So the Gemara now wants to clarify. If you're going to tell me that in Shar Tumas, there's no Tumas Avir, is Rabbi Lazar, he brought a raya for his Shita, that Mechata Shenitmu is Tahorim, Mitarim. How did he prove that even if the Mechatos contracted Tumah, they still have the power to be Mitar? He proved it from the Hazav Venida, atop Venida. Verabonon, they disagree with him, and they don't think that there's a raya from Nida. Mimaikomifli, what are they arguing about? This is the machlokas now that we have to sink our teeth into, based in the light of or in the aftermath of Abai's cash against Rava. Rava offered us a very fundamental machlokas. But how is Abai going to support this machlokas, interpret this machlokas? Omer Abaye, bidonin tuma keduma mituma shabosa shaka mifligi. They're arguing about whether we derive the din of tuma when it was already, how does the Gemara call it, keduma, right? There was a tuma keduma on the mechatas before the hazah. And that's based on the din that tuma she'ira b'sha she'hiza osam. In other words, if let's say he was mazel on the nida, and you're talking about the tumas mayim for me'azah come simultaneous, is mar sover donim or mar sover ein donim? Rabbi Loz is willing to say we could derive tuma keduma from tuma b'osa shah. And therefore, even in the case of Mechatos, Shenitmu Fnei Zrika, is Metar, Mar Sovar, but according to Rabbanon, Ein Donim, and therefore, only in a case where the Tumah Nazah came Biachas, is Metar Mamayim. So we can translate this phrase, Tumah Keduma, as pre-existing Tumah. And that means from the din, or let's say the from the mitzvahs of Tumah, that occurred at that very moment. Okay? So we're going to say that we have two categories. So we have Keduma, Tumah Keduma, which is pre-existing Tumah, and we have the case of Tumah Bosa Shah, which is Tumah that occurs at that very moment. The question is whether Donim or Ain Donim. Do we have the ability to compare the two? Can we derive the validity or the kasha, shall we say, the Mechatos that became Tumah before the sprinkling, before the Azov, and the fact that it is kosher, it's valid to sprinkle Mechatos on a Nida, even though they become Tomei simultaneously with the fulfillment of the sprinkling requirement when they touch our body? And Mar Sovar Donim, Mar Sovar Eina Donim, Rav Loza holds, we can derive it. In other words, since the Mechatos became Tomei at the very second that they accomplished the sprinkling of the Nida, this is a case of sprinkling accomplished with Mechatos that are Tomei, because this Hazaz is valid according to this opinion. Then we have to derive the conclusion of Mechatos, even if they were Tomei prior to the sprinkling, are still valid. Umar Savar, but the Rabbanan hold, Ein Donim. We cannot derive any conclusions. Because in their opinion, the case of Bavas Achas, of simultaneously occurring two things that simultaneously occurred, and we derive from that the Mechatos is still Tar at the time that they accomplished the Zrikas Adam, so it means the Kashus is speaking on Anida, proves that we, you know, it actually doesn't prove much at all. Simply, it works like this, that Rabbi Loza Sarvah Donin, which means that how did Rabbi Loza come to the conclusion that Mechata Shenitmu can be Mitayer, even though they paradoxically, they themselves are Tmeim? He derived it from the case of Tumah Vasachas. What's Tumah Vasachas? The case of the Hazal of the Mechatas on the Nida, where immediately when the Hazal hit the Mechatas, hit the body, at that point it became Tmeim, and yet it's Mitayer. So too in a case where the
when the Mechatis became Tmeim prior to the Zrika, to the Azah, they still, despite the fact that they contracted Tumah, have the power to be Matayr. And Rabbanan so Savri Lo aimed on it. So again, this is all under the assumption of Abaye, that everybody agrees that Avir is not Kemunach Tomer. Now, according to the sheet of Rami Bar Chama, Dam Hanitas al Beged, on Beged Tomei that we discussed before, that was the suffix of Rami Bar Chama, needs Kibus. That was the possibility that Rami Bar Chama wanted to advocate. So Rav Chisda, according to Abaye, responded by saying that this is a machlokus between Rabbi Loza and Rabbanon. Because according to Rabbi Loza's Shita, that Tuma bi'oso shah is dina ketuma keduma, there's no difference between the two, that was the donim. So the same thing is going to apply as far as kibus is concerned. You're talking about kibus damachatos, and the answer is the dam doesn't need kibbutz. Why? Because the dam, once it contracted tumah, and now binigiyasa the beged, right? Because the beged was tame, and now the dam becomes tame the minute it hits the beged, and that's as if it was nitma kodem lachay. Because according to Rav Elazar, there's no difference between the two. Even had it be contracted to him before the Hazor, it would still be Matayr. And applying that kind of logic here, as far as Kibbutz Dam Chatas is concerned, we're going to come to the conclusion that according to Rabbi Lazar, since we derive again that equation of Tuma Sheba Osa Shah, we derive from that the din of Tuma Keduma. So as far as Kibbutz Dam Chatas is concerned, the Dam will not require a Kibbutz. Because we're going to consider as if the dam became Tomei b'negiyas of a beged, as if it was Tomei before it came in contact with the beged. And that is the shita of Rabbi Lazar. That what difference does it make if it became Tomei at that moment or it became Tomei before? In both cases, the din is the same. And therefore the dam doesn't need kibbutz. However, according to the Rabbanon, we're not going to derive one from the other, and in case where the tuma and azah came from vasachas, it's not the same halach as tuma keduma. And here too, if we apply that logic to the din of kibbutz dam, of dam shenitas, then since the tuma's dam did not come into being before the obligation of doing kibbutz, they came with vasachas. Now the Gemara is going to offer another way of interpreting the machlokes shein Rav Lozan Chachamim about whether or not mechatos that became tame can be metayer tuma, and that's Rav. The Kuli Alma ain't done. Rav Loz says you can never, as a general rule, derive the din of Tuma Keduma from the din of Tuma Vasachas, but the Rebbe, the Rebbe Loza Savar Hazor Tzricha Shir Umitztarfim Hazor Srabbanan Savar Hazor Ein Tzricha Shir. According to Rebbe, Hazor has to have a minimum Shir. We had a discussion about this earlier in Masechta Zvachim. And you cannot say that, well, he did one Zrika and then another Zrika and Mitzarif the two. Each Zrika itself individually to qualify as a Maisa Zrika requires that Shir. And what exactly that certain amount of Mechatis is, by the way, we don't know, but it has a certain minimum Shir. Rabbanan Savar Hazor Ein Zrika Shir, so there's no minimum amount. Now, according to Rabbi Lazar, in the case that a woman is a nida, has to do more than one hazos, correct? So if she was an additional between nida, she was tmeya a tumas mes, and there's no din that it requires that the hazos of a nida should take place in any way differently than hazos of anyone who's a tumas mes. And therefore, if you have less than this shear of mechatos on the first sprinkling, then according to Rabbi Lazar, since hazah needs a shear, and when he starts the hazah, the hazah reaches her body, and the mayim, let's say, is pochus mishir hazah, he's going to require another hazah in order to be mashin the shir hazah. The first hazah, in and of itself, could not engender hatara because it was pochus mikashir. The hazah became tmeya, bitumas nida, and therefore, when they do a second hazah, if, for example, you would integrate the first hazah, which was nitma beforehand, with the hazah shnia to be mashed in the shear of mechatas, then it would be, she would be tmeya. That would be the logical conclusion. And for the fact that mechatas shenitmu lifnei hazah, and from that we conclude that mechatas shenitmu lifnei hazah are mitaren. Whereas the Rabbanans hold that the hazah and the tamimes doesn't need a shear, and therefore they are mitaren b'hazah kol shehu, and therefore there's no proof from Nida about the case of mechatas shenitmu b'kodem l'chein that they could be mitaren. Because the tara that she achieves miyad immediately when there was an agiyah ba with azov mechatos and it's a kol shehi, that's enough to be mitaira, and all that happens b'vasachas. So just to summarize the presentation here of Rava, meaning that according to Rabbi, we could only understand how a nida who incurred tumas mes could become tahora through the hazah process, if we assume that we somehow are mitzaref the first mayim with the second mayim, because the first mayim by definition has less than a shear, and if we're going to assume that the first mayim already was, when it came in contact with her body, already was nitma, how could that first minimum amount of mayim be misarif to the mayim that comes afterwards if it was already tummy before she became tahora? So it must be the mechatz chatame can be used to be mitayr, because again the first part of the mayim already contracted tumma. It's less than the shear, it's a kol shehu. Now we need the second mayim that comes beyond it. And that second mayim is mitzatayr for the first mayim. It's mitayra, even though the first mayim are already tmeim at the time of the tara process, which is with the second water that comes after the small amount at the beginning. According to the Chacham, however, you can't prove anything from a nidah shenitma b'mes, because the Zrika is clinched and the Tara is clinched immediately with the first drop of Mechatas. You don't need a shear. So Mechatas on a Nida is basically a situation of Mechatas of Vasachas, where the Mechatas became Tmeim B'Sha'achas with the Hazah. That doesn't prove anything about Mechatas that became Tmeim before the Hazah. So it seemed that according to Rava, there's no question at all in Rami Bar Chama's case of the dam chatos that came in contact with a beged that's tamei. In this case, the beged would certainly require kibus, because simultaneous tuma is not the same as prior tuma as bezecher zeh. So even according to Abaye, who maintains that according to Rabbi Loza, there's a tuma vasachas situation, the halacha is still paskin. We pass the halacha like the chachamim, and therefore the garment does require kibus. Tana Rabbana, we learned in the braisa midama that in the pasuk in Vayikra Vav it says midama, and the extra mem teaches us midam ksheru v'lo midam psula, meaning the dam
of one that was kosher, but not the dam of one that is possible. And this is the shita of the Rabbanim. Now the Braisa is going to tell us what exactly is the machlok shin Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon in this case. In other words, how do we interpret this pasuk that excludes a dam psula, dam cher velo dam psula? So the Rabbi Akiva omer oisol shasa kosher v'nifsal adama ta'an kibus. Lo haisol shasa kosher v'nifsal ein dama ta'an kibus. So Rav Shimon holds that this miut of mi dama to exclude dam psula applies in the case where there was never shas sakosha and it became possible. In such a case, ein dama ton kibus. So if you have dam that was tame from the beginning, then it doesn't require dam, it doesn't require kibus. However, the miut of And that's the case of the miut of midama. It never had a period in which it was kosher, but a chatas whose dam was royal is zrika on the mizbeach, even if it became possible later, it's not excluded, and its dam would generate a din of kibus, a requirement of kibus. Rav Shimon omer echad zeh v'echad zeh ein dama ta'un kibus. In other words, whether or not you're talking about hoysel ashasa kosher or lo hoysel ashasa kosher, there's no requirement of kibus here because the dam is posel is zrika. Let's go over this one more time. Gemara says that my time with Rav Shimon, why does Rabbi Shimon assume that echad zeh v'echad zeh, whether the chatas was never, the dam was never royal lizrika, or a chatas that was ruya b'tchila lizrika, but then became pasul's ein dama ton kibus? Says the Gemara, dichsiv, he derives from the pasuk in the parash of kibus in Vayikra Vav, it says, kol zachar b'kohanim yochal osa. And the word osa is a mute. Osa, meaning that which is mentioned in the parasha, but not something else. Uksiv, and in the din of kibus, we have midama, and now that's also mute. So we have what's called two miutim. And Rabbi Shimon Darshan's chad miut, one miut is lehecha dohaisol ashasa kosher v'chad lelo haisol ashasa kosher. Then in both these cases, there's no ton kibus because the dam was possible when it was absorbed in the begin. Rabbi Akiva, he doesn't use the miut of osa for achatas shahoisala shasa kosher, and therefore he includes a chatas shahoisala shasa kosher in the parish of ton kibus. Osa, and the word osa that comes to exclude from this din of Marika Shtifa of Ton Kibus is Prat L'Truma, that this parsha of Mariku Shtifa that applies to a kli in which was cooked Basar Karbonis, that doesn't apply to a kli that was used for cooking Truma. And we're going to derive that from the miut of osa. Again, you're talking about a kli and you were cooking truma in the kli. So l'chor v'pashas, the truma, the tama truma goes into the walls of the kli, and there's an absolute chiv to be mag, to be machshir, agol of the kli, because this was used to bishul truma. We have to take the tama, the truma that's balu in the kli, and remove it so it should not chul it. So let's just summarize what we have over here. Oh, just one second. I lost the place here, sorry. So Rabbi Akiva has osa prat litruma. In other words, the second mute that says osa with regard to the kohanim, what the kohanim are allowed to eat, and that follows the pasuk that requires kibus. So Rabbi Akiva says the following: the mute that comes afterwards is excluding the law of kibus in the case of clay truma, kalim that we use to cook truma. They don't require kibus. Again, he's not talking about the kibus of dam chatas on a beged, but in any event, he needs to exclude the case of kibus, or shall we say something parallel to kibus in the truma case, and that we have. Then we don't have another miut, a second miut, to exclude kibus dam chatas in the case that it once was kosher. It had a shas ha-kosher. Rav Shimon l'tamei, but Rav Shimon is consistent. L'tamei, d'yom ha-kodshim kalim, ein tu'una marika u'shtifa v'kol shkein truma. That even in the case of, let's say, korban shlomim or something of the like, which is kodshim kalim, there's no din of kibus. How much more so truma? And therefore, he doesn't need that second mute to exclude the case of truma. So in other words, let's say according to Rav Shimon, and that's the Mishnah we're going to get to on Tzadihei, if you cook kodshim kalim in a kli, you don't require mariku shtifa. The Gemara later on Daf Tzadivav is going to explain that Rabbi Shimon derives this conclusion from the pasuk that follows mariku shtifa, where it says kodesh kadoshim he. The Torah therefore restricts the whole din of kibus to kodshe kodshim, and therefore anything less, for example, kodshim kalim, and how much more so truma, which doesn't have the kedusha of hegdesh, all these are excluded even from the din of bishal akli. So again, since Rabbi Shimon already has the miut of truma from the Kodesh Kadoshim pasuk, right? Kodesh Kadoshim to exclude Kodesh Kodesh Kalim, and certainly with the Kavachomer Truma. So he can't use the word Osa to exclude Truma the way Rabbi Akiva did it. He's going to interpret the Osa as a second mute in the din of Kibus, and that's going to teach us that if there was a Shasa Kosher, that since it's possible now, even though it did have a shasa kosher, therefore it does not generate a chiyuv kibus. So it all boils down to machlokas linyan kodshim kalim, whether te'unim riko shtifa or enim te'unim riko shtifa, and that's going to have an impact on whether you have one miut or two miutim to exclude not only lo haisal shasa kosher but even haisal asa kosher from the ton kibus, and that's going to be the two miutim of Rabbi Shimon. And the reason why Rav Shimon is free to accept a second mute is because he doesn't need a mute of Mariku Shtifa in the case of Truma, because he holds that even Kodshim Kalim don't need Mariku Shtifa. And now this leads us to the Mishnah, which continues addressing the dinim of Ton Kibus in the case of Dam Chatas that was Nitaz Ala Beged. Nitaz Menat Savar Ala Beged. If the dam went directly from the tzav of the behema onto the beged, eino ton kibus, and one could wonder why that shouldn't need kibus. We're going to have to see the end of the Mishnah and later on the Brice and the Gemara. Min akeren umin yisod eino ton kibus. If it ricocheted off the keren hamizbeach, if the zrika was done properly, or min yisod from the base of the mizbeach, is ein ton kibus. Why? So if we take a look at Rashi, and this will be clarified in the Braisa later on, that if the dam already had its kiyum on the mizbeach, then it no longer generates a din of kibus. So now he did, let's say, the zrika on all four chronos, then none of the dam, even the shirara dam that are left in the klisharis and have to be poured onto the base, can generate a chiyuv kivus. There is also a relevant sugya back on Lamites Omer Aleph with regard to the words of the Mishnah Yesod, and the Gemara says you don't take Yesod literally, that there was blood that splattered off the Yesod of Mizbech onto a Beged. Well, again, it's there's no question about it that Shiori Adam require Shfichal Gavia Yesod, and that dam would certainly not generate a chiv kibus. But the language of the Mishnah, min ha-yisod, sounds like it was after the shpicha was done, implying that if the dam would have been nitaz al-gabei beged before the shpicha al-yisod, it was shirayim, that it would generate a chiv of kibus. But the Gemara explains that that's not so. That once the dam achatas has been already put on the kronos on his bath, none of the dam can generate a chiyuv kibus. So the Gemara says that when it says here min hakeren, it means that the dam was splattered from the keren, and when it says min hayisod, it means the dam was splattered from the yisod. So the Gemara makes a following chiluk, that when it says min hakronos or min hakeren, that should be taken kipshuto, that if the dam from the keren, after the dam has already been applied, and is then there's no din of, it cannot generate a din of kibus. But on the other end, the word in the Mishnah for min hayisod, that doesn't mean what we think it means, that the dam was already nizrak and it jumped out from, I'm sorry, it was already nishpach, I should say, and after it was poured onto the yisod, it splattered. And it splattered onto a garment. That's not the interpretation of that Mishnah when it says min hayisod, but rather, the dam is roy for zrika, and that's considered dam that would generate the halacha of kibus. So the Mishnah is teaching us that once the nesinos, the matan damim on the kronos are complete, now you're left with shvichas hadam to be poured onto the base, onto the yisod. Then even that dam, okay, that shvichas dam, is no longer subject, can no longer subject the garment to kibus. So it basically comes out that min hayisod, according to the Gemara, means after the zrika was done, and it's roy, it's omeg now to the shvicha shirayim, but since it's min hayisod and it's after the original zrika, so it's only shirayim, that does not generate a chiyuv kibus. So there's no difference between the dam that sprinkles or jumps off the yisod or the dam that's waiting to be placed on the yisod, to be poured onto the yisod. Then the Mishnah says, nishpach ala ritzpa vasofo, ein ton kibus. So this dam that's sprinkled or spilled, shall we say, from the tzavar abehim onto the ritzpah, and he the kohen, is now gathering up this dam, and now the dam jumps onto a beged, ein ton kibus. There's no requirement of kibus. Why? Because that dam is not royal lizrik al gabim mizbeach, who is not received but in a kli sharis. And therefore the Mishnah formulates the following rule. Ein ton kibus el adam sheniskabel b'kli v'roy lazor. Only dam that was received in a kli shareis, and it's kosher lazor, then if it falls onto a beged, Since it's Royal Azah, it generates a Chiyuv Kibus. Now, we mentioned a few times that there's a Braisa. Let's read that Braisa. Tana Rabbanan, Yachol Nitaz Minatzavar Ala Beged Yehiton Kibus. Right, we established already in our Mishnah that if it went directly from the Tzavara Behema onto the Beged, it doesn't require Kibus. But we didn't give any explanation for it. So that's what the Braisa wants to derive this halacha. Talmud Lomar Asher Yizeh from the Pasuk Asher Yizeh. And what does that mean, Asher Yizeh? La Marti L'cha El V'roi L'hazah. Now, if the dam goes directly from the Tzavar Behem onto the garment, then it's not included in this parish of Hazah, of Kibus, because the dam was never niskabel b'kli sharis. It's not fit for Zrika al Gabi Mizbeach. Again, what would be the din if it didn't go directly from the Tzavar Behemah onto the Ritzpah, but rather it went from the Tzavar Behemah into a Kli Sharis and then it spilled out of the Kli Sharis? That would be a whole different story. That dam would, if it sprinkled, would require a Kibus. So that's the Gemara here, the Braisei of Law, Marti L'chayel Baroi Lehazah. So dam directly from the Tzavar Behema onto the garment is not considered royal azah. Now the Gemara quotes a different brisa. Tanya Idoch, we have another one. Yachol Nitaz Minakeren Minayisod Yeton Kivus. What happens if he did the Zrika in such a way that Yachol Nitaz Min HaKeren, it means that the dam splattered off the Yisod or off the Keren, is, you might think it needs Kibus, is the Pasuk Asher Yizeh tells me that Zdaf could be in the future. Asher Yizeh means that it's dam that's only Lazah. It hasn't yet had the Nasis Mitzvah, so then that dam would generate a Chi of Kibus. Prat Lezer is dam Shekvar Huzo. There already was a kiyum of mitzvah of Hazas Adam, and therefore it doesn't need kibus. And again, we'd have to really analyze this in terms of Me'ilah and Isra Hanah and so forth. At what point is, if the dam is no longer Asher Yizeh, does it forfeit its kedusha? The Mishnah says Nishpach ala Ritzpah. If he collects it from the Ritzpah, doesn't need kibus. And then the Tana gives a different din, an additional din, that you don't need kibus except for dam that was received in a kli that's roi lazah. So Gemara asks here on daf tzadi gimel mibeis hasum lamali. Why did the Mishnah have to go over and tell me twice that the dam that generates kibus is only dam that was niskabel b'kli? We already know that dam that fell onto the ritzpah doesn't need kibus, because it was never niskabel b'kli. So the Gemara answers, my tam kamar. You have to read the Mishnah with a my tam. The Tana is teaching this din, and he's asking, why is this so? Why is the din that nishpach adam al ritzvah, for example, is that dam can no longer generate a chiyuv kibus? And the answer is, Ma tam shenishpach al ritzpah vasofo shein ton kiddush, lefi shein ton kibus elo dam sheniskal bekli v'roy lazoya. So if the dam again went from the tzavra behema onto the ritzpah, that dam would never generate a chiv kibus, because kibus only applies with dam sheniskal bekli. So if you have Shkita Sakarbon Azevach and then you have Kabbalah Sadam, that dam is royal Azoya, it's ready for Azoya, and now it falls on the Ritzvah, for example, and then the Kohen collects it. So that's not called royal Azoya. Nishpach Tchila L'Ritzvah, before the Kli Sharis, and therefore it's Einu Roi Lazor. So that's called Ma Tam Ka'omar. He's really not adding another Chiddush when he goes over the din of Dam Ton Kibus is only if it was in the Skal of the Kli. We already know, as we said before, that Dam Shenishpach Ala Ritzpah doesn't require kibus. He's just giving a reasoning for that, and that's because it is Eino Roi Lazoya. Now the Mishnah told us that Dam requires kibus if it was miskabel b'kli first, and therefore it's Roi Lazoya. So the Gemara asks, why does the Tana have to mention Roi Lazoya, since it's already been mentioned in this Mishnah that the Dam requires kibus only if it was miskabel b'kli? It means because it's Roi Lazoya. So why did you have to add this piece that we, you know, that's sort of like a repetitious piece of Roi Lazoya? So Gemara says that Lemu'ute Mai, that these words Roi Lazoya are coming from mute. And the Gemara says, what is coming from mute? Lemait in Kibel Hadam mitzavra beima pochos mikdeshir hazoya gabi mizbeh beklizeh. The kibel shenis dam pochos mikdeshir hazoya beklizeh. He's got two kelim, and he was makabel in these two kelim the dam from the tzavra beima. Each one of these two kelim contains within it pachos mikashir. So now, in order to achieve the shir, he's going to have to combine these two damim that he was makabel from the tzara behemah into two different kelim. He has to combine them into one keli, and now he mixes them together in one kli, and then some of it sprinkles onto a beggar. And we don't require kibus. There's no kiddush hadam. And the reason for that is because in order to mekadosh the dam, you need in each kli sharis a kabbalah of a volume, a minimum volume of dam that's kosher lazoya. Now the Gemara wants to bring a proof that in fact you cannot be mekabel the dam lechatzoyim, because then the kabbalah sadam will not be mekadosh the dam. The Sanya we learned in a Braisa, which is addressing the case of Kiddush of Mechatos, to be Metar Tmei Mesim, Rab Chalafta Bar Shol Omer, Mei Paras Chatos, Shekidesh. In other words, the Efer of the Para was now added into this Mayim, and making this concoction, which we call Mechatos. Is the Gemara says in the name of the Braisa that pachos mikidei hazoya beklizeh upachos mikidei hazoya beklizeh lo kidesh. What does it mean lo kidesh? Because since when he put the efer into the mayim to be mekadesh the mayim was in two different kelim. And there was less than a shear in each one of these two kelim. And in such a case, even after he mixes them together into one kli, and now they have a shear of hazoya, but nevertheless lo kiddush, the mayim which is inside cannot be mekadesh, cannot be metayer the tamei mes. And the Gemara is going to clarify the reason for this din. But right now we're going to stop the shiur because it's getting late. I believe that it will start tomorrow with Eboilu.